to Hannibal Focus, where we talk about all things Hannibal all the time and find out what's going on here in America's hometown. I'm your host, Megan Duncan, and we are a production of Muddy River News.
So I'm here today with Denise Dameron from the United Way of the Mark Twain area, and we are spotlighting Loaves and Fishes today as their monthly spotlight, and we're going to talk to Larry Hines, the director of Loaves and Fishes. So, hi Denise!
How are you? And so I'm good. Larry is actually part of a bigger organization even, Harvest Outreach Ministries.
Right, yes.
And so at United Way each month throughout the foreseeable future, we are highlighting a different United Way partner agency that benefits financially from the United Way campaign. And so the organization this month in October is Harvest Outreach Ministries, and they operate two programs. One is Loaves and Fishes, and the other, they have a sober living program. And so Larry, can you just tell us a little bit about the programs that you guys do oversee there at Harvest Outreach Ministries, and just tell us really kind of the details.
Sure. Okay. Well, our sober living residences, we have one for men and women, and these are facilities that basically are for people getting out of prison, jail, rehabilitation places. Basically, the whole thought process is to give them a hand up to get them started when they get out, because usually they come out with nothing. Mm-hmm. So we have things set up where we can give them clothes. We have food provided. We meet every need that they have to be able to get started while they're looking for employment. We also have people that will assist in, like, writing resumes and things like that, train them how to do that. So there's a number of things we do through what we call life coaches at the houses. So for men and women both, we try to put, we call them mentors, mm-hmm. but we try to put a life coach in their lives that helps them with those kind of things. To, we get people, they've never had bank accounts, they've never wrote a check in their life. A lot of them have never paid a bill in their life. So we try to put people in their lives that can help them with those kind of things. Of course, the whole goal is to keep them sober, mm-hmm. to help them overcome the things that have destroyed their lives in the past. We believe with all of our hearts that the main emphasis in that is a relationship with Jesus Christ, because when they get that, that's the ones that we see that are very successful.
Absolutely.
So we have Bible studies at the houses. We have a few pastors that work with us. We have elders from different churches. So we can always use more. That's one of the things we always lack in, is people to help. Everything we do, all of our buildings are under construction, so we've always had construction projects going on. So some of the guys will help with that. Like, we just recently took a guy in last week. He had been in and out of prison most of his life, mostly just because of drugs. And so he's actually working for us in the old sanctuary where we're building new rooms for the men, because he knows how to do flooring and drywall and all those kind of things. So until he can find regular employment, we can supply him with some work.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That is great for certain. Do you want to talk a little bit, too? I know you also have the Loaves and Fishes program, but do you want to talk a little bit? Well, back up. How did this all begin?
Yeah.
Well, Pastor James Bridges and I kind of met by chance. I had this on my heart for a long time. I've done prison ministry for a number of years, and so that was one of the things that I've seen, is that, when these people come out of prison, if they return to the same places and the same people and the same life, that they're not going to make it. And so they need a hand up. They need a place to go where they can, have a time to get some quality things put in their lives. So it'd been on my heart for a number of years. And then it just so happened I was doing a program up at WTJR, I think it was, and went in and sat down by this guy that I'd been hearing about him. And that turned out to be Pastor James. And so we got to talking, and we both kind of had this vision and this desire. He'd been in and out of halfway houses through the years, and so he kind of knew the need and things like that. And so we just put our heads together and decided to start this ministry.
And what year was that about?
That was 2010.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I thought it was around that time. Yeah. So do you have any idea since you guys began in 2010 about how many individuals have come through? I know you opened the men's house first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had men's house for probably about 5 years before we opened the women's house. Everybody kind of warned us that I don't think you want to do a women's house.
There's a lot of hormones in there.
And it has been a lot of challenges. And sure. It really wasn't until we've got some ladies that work with us now that they're just great, and they've really turned it around. And, mm-hmm. and the women's ministry is going better than it ever has.
That's great.
But, you know, through the years, in 13 years, we was talking about this a while back. I mean, we have probably literally seen thousands of people go through the house.
Absolutely.
The ones, many of them that did what they were supposed to do, got involved in the programs that we set in place for them, and, you know, did what they're supposed to do and became Christians, they're mm-hmm. still living successful lives.
That's so amazing.
I talked this week, actually, I'll be passing information out about our client highlight, mm-hmm. which is Nick Ferris,
yes.
who works now as your men's house manager,
yes.
but came for the Sober Living program there
right.
at Harvest Outreach, and he shared with me when he was in treatment locally that while he was in the treatment facility, people were just talking so terribly on this Harvest House. And he said, he's like, that's the place for me then, because if individuals that aren't serious about sobriety
right.
are talking trash
exactly.
on a place, that's what I need.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, and he's
yeah.
a, you know, an example of somebody
yeah.
that's really embraced all the parts
yeah.
and pieces of, you know, of Harvest Outreach. And he,
yes.
you know, openly shared with me, he's like, I had 28 felonies, you know, and
mm-hmm.
here I am. And he just bought a new vehicle and is doing great at work and
yes.
saving money to put a down payment on his own home.
Yes.
And so he's somebody that really,
yeah.
you know, his life is just
right.
completely transformed because
right.
of that sober living program that you guys manage.
Yeah, and you know, the neat thing about with people like Nick is it impacts the family, too. So it has a trickle-down effect.
Absolutely.
Because his family, you know, Nick was in and out of prison pretty much. You know, he's one of those guys. He had, like, scholarships to colleges for sports and everything, and then drugs just took all that away from him. And then mm-hmm. from that moment on, he was in and out of prison since then. And so, you know, he's been with us a couple of years now. He's advancing at Watlow. They love him out there. He's taken some training to get some certifications to where he can advance even further in his job. But his mom and his brother, because of Nick's influence, they've turned their life around. And so now they're down from the St. Charles area, so they're wanting to get out of there. They're going to move up this way. His fiance, same story. She that passed. Her family is just nothing but addicts and things. And so some of them are, her brother's at the house now. He's been doing great. He's at the General Mills. He just got hired on as a full-time employee. So it's awesome when you see the impact
yeah.
that it can have on the family.
Absolutely.
When just one gets it turned around, you know.
And Nick also said, because I asked him, I'm like, so Harvest Outreach really saved your life? And he corrected me. He goes, no, Jesus Christ saved my life, but Harvest
right.
Outreach showed
yeah.
me who he was.
That's
and I was
right.
like, okay, mic drop moment here.
That's
Nick,
right.
thank you for
yes.
setting me straight here.
Yeah.
But,
well, we got another guy, Josh Thomas, and I don't think Josh would mind me telling this. You know, Josh was a guy raised in the church.
Mm-hmm.
His father's a pastor, and he got into drugs and just, you know, his life spiraled down. And when he came to us, he was looking at maybe 30 years in prison.
Wow.
And so, you know, that's another thing that we do through the years. We work with the court system,
mm-hmm.
and we've had great relationships with the court systems around the area.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been many times that people, because they've come to our program and they've got their lives turned around, that it's kept them from some very long prison sentences.
Yeah.
And Josh just recently, he got hired by Cardinal Contractors, and last I knew, he'd signed like almost $3 million in contracts because of the big hailstorm that we had, you know,
yes,
area.
Yes.
And, you know, people trust him. He's,
sure.
he gets the job done. He sees to it that everything's taken care of, you know, and he's just done great. And he just, you know, it's almost on a weekly basis that he's texting me thanking, you know, us for saving his life, you know, and, for trusting him
mm-hmm.
as he builds this business. So, there's a lot of, a lot of women are doing great. They've gone back to their families and being the mothers that they should be. Some of them are working for us. That's one of the common things in our ministry, because we can't really have never gotten to that position where we can pay people.
Yes.
we have to do mostly volunteers. And so most of our volunteers are people that have come up through the ministry and are doing well. All of our house managers and things like that have been people that come up through the houses.
Absolutely.
And together. And we've got the lady that's kind of, we call it a resident supervisor, the lady that's our resident supervisor at the women's house right now. The first 6 months that she was at the house, it was almost on a weekly basis that James or I-1 was over there talking with her, ready to kick her out.
Wow.
And then there was that point where she just turned it around, and now she's doing great. In fact, I think we're trying to get in a position where we can hire her to actually do some work for us and maybe write some grants and take care of some of our technology things and stuff like that. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I mean, that just the transformation. And as you said, it's not just about this individual. It's about their whole downstream of family members too. Mm-hmm. You're able to really just truly transform the lives of individuals and improve them. And for some clients I know that come in your door, this is the first person in their family. It might have been individuals that generations ago were, it might have all been alcohol related at that time, but then it became drug related for generations. And this is the first person that's really had new, brighter future.
It is.
Just what transformations, for people. Mm-hmm. So the Sober Living Program, of course, is probably the one that takes the majority of your time, I would guess.
Yeah.
With the men's house and women's house. But then also there's another ministry that the organization oversees, which is Loaves and Fishes.
Yes.
And that's been something that's maybe been a lot going on lately, too. Can you talk a little bit about that program how it began and such?
Our Loaves and Fishes program began in 1998. Ron Passion, some other gentlemen got together. They had that burden and that vision to help. Ron's always had a heart for the homeless and things, and so they started serving the meal out of the United Methodist Church down, I think it was United Methodist.
Down
by the post office. And we had it there, we housed it there up until COVID hit. And so then when the churches closed their doors over COVID, because their congregation was elderly, they kept theirs down a little longer. And so we had to go, at that time, during COVID, we had to go to just passing out like sandwiches because we couldn't cook or anything like that. So we did it at the nutrition center while it was closed down. And then when things opened back up, Helping Hand Baptist Church had built a new building. And so they offered us their old building to operate out of. So we were operating out of the basement of that. We had been looking for a building for quite some time. We'd purchased a lot and was actually going to build a community center. That just never really came together. There were some issues with the lot that the things that we were going to be required to do by the city was going to increase the price so much that we just couldn't afford to do it.
Welcome to construction 101,
exactly.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. So we kept looking for a building, and then this building at 413 Broadway opened up. It was a beauty shop at the time. It had been an eye clinic for years. And so we purchased that last December and have been under construction pretty much since then, renovating it so we can get back there. Our goal has been to get back to serving the hot meals and do the in-house dining. So right now we're hoping to have it open the first week of November. Whether we will or not, I don't know, but we're hoping that we will. Got a few things to tie up, but in the midst of all that, even though we didn't really have the facility that we wanted, the Loaves and Fishes ministry part of it actually increased. We started serving more people during COVID than we ever had before. There was times where we would serve 100 to 110 meals a night during the COVID situation. I think it's settled down now to about around 60 people a night that we feed. Another thing that we did a number of years ago was we got connected to the food bank out of Columbia. Kind of a dual purpose. Part of it was to be able to feed the folks at our houses, Because it's, you know, when we opened our first sober living house, we were really scraping to provide food.
Sure.
And it was, we learned a lot about what you can eat even far after the expiration date by some of the guys that were at the house.
But, you're still, you're not sick?
Yeah.
Sure.
So we would find food from any source that we could get it. So when we teamed up with the food bank, that kind of helped not only supply food for the houses, but also to be able to pass out food. So we started doing the Feed America program, we call it. And I'm thinking that was probably maybe around 8 years ago. It might have been a little bit longer. And so what that is we pass out boxes of food every Friday from noon to two. So Billy Heideck, or Billy Vavra, excuse me, she got married. We hired Billy to be our, what we call our loaves and fishes / Feed America director. And so she oversees the food programs. Billy's another success story. You know, she come from that past of the drug addiction and all those things, and really turned her life around through her relationship with God. Got married earlier this year, and she's just doing great. And so now we're passing out up to like around 100 boxes sometimes on Friday of food.
Wow.
So in that connection with the food bank, we get, once a month, we get a truckload of food in. Well, a truckload, about 5 pallets of food. And then Aldi's is a part of that. Walmart is a part of that.
McDonald's
is a part of that. And so another one of Billy's jobs is going around to Walmart and Aldi's and McDonald's every week and picking up the food that they give us. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see, I think, when we get back to in-house dining. What kind of crowd we have.
Yeah.
We think we're going to be able to set up for maybe around 80 people is what our goal is.
Wow.
And so we'll see how that goes. It's going to be a change because a lot of people are used to just dropping in and grabbing that sack of food and heading out. So we hope that they're going to be willing to stick around. And mm-hmm. then on top of that, we can offer, you know, a warm place in the wintertime and a cool place in the summertime mm-hmm. to take a break. And then you know, we're opening the building up to the community for different things. You know, like we've had AA groups and NA groups express interest in holding meetings at the buildings. We've had Bible study groups talk to us about it. We've had different groups that want to come down and do some different programs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when they were doing the COVID vaccine, one of the things they were wanting to do was come down to Helping Hand and do vaccines, because those are not the kind of, you know, most of the people that come to Loaves and Fishes are not going to go in somewhere and get
sure.
a vaccine.
Well, most of them don't even have transportation
yeah,
to get there.
Exactly.
Right.
And so some educational things, you know, like the Missouri
Nutrition, University of Missouri
Extension. Yeah, University of Missouri Extension. Getting stumbled.
It's a mouthful there.
Yeah. They've been interested in coming down and doing like food prep classes.
Wow.
The health department has talked about doing like some food educational classes and things like that.
Well,
so
there's endless opportunities
yeah.
to connect people to resources
yes.
too. And for me, what I see as such a great part of this is speak of her. Billy's calling. But there's endless opportunities. Really, because there's such trust built between the clients that Harvest Outreach serves
yes.
And, you know, the program and the individuals there. If then we can utilize that trust to connect then other entities that can really help provide support to those individuals, whether it be
right.
the WIC program for mothers yep. with, you know, infant children down there at that building or whatever program might be. That one was just an easy one right off the top of my head.
Right.
But if we can then really connect those individuals to extra resources, what
yeah.
a great gift that can be.
Exactly.
You know, to really help those
yes.
individuals hopefully get connected with what they need yeah. to become the best version of yeah. themselves.
Yeah.
One
so.
Of our, you know, and the connection with United Way is United Way was, it was getting funding from them basically that helped us to hire Loaves and Fishes to Feed America director, so that we had that person that could focus on that part of the ministry and take care of all that. And so that's, you know, so really when you look at United Way funding, that has been able to take us to another level in doing that, and something that's so vital to serve the community.
That's awesome.
You know, and as the homeless population in Hannibal continues to increase, mm-hmm. The need for food is going to increase. So,
absolutely.
And, you know, it's a good connection there. And one of our long-term goals, of course, is to continue to increase being able to feed people and help with groceries and things like that. But also, we've always had this long-term plan of someday having a house for women and children, because one of the things that takes women out of the house too early is, you know, wanting to get back to the kids.
Sure.
You know, but the problem is if mom's not ready and mom's not healthy and mom's not over those things, she's really not going to do her children any good if she
Absolutely.
Goes back to
well, and really even equipped with a new network.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be equipped
exactly.
with new people and
yeah.
Such for certain. Because as a mom, there's nothing more important to me than my kiddos.
Yeah.
And I know moms, no matter the situation, are the
yeah.
same way. So,
exactly.
You know, that's
yeah.
more than crucial to make
yeah.
certain those women are equipped with what they need
yeah.
to be able to be successful in that
you know,
parenting
when you've got
journey.
A child in foster care, or maybe they're not in a good situation with, you know, somewhere else while you're in the house, that's a heavy burden on a mom, especially
right.
when she starts getting it together and can be thinking clearly and starts having some goals, you know, for her family. Then that becomes a pretty heavy burden. So we're hoping that will be the next step that we can accomplish.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Harvest Outreach obviously is doing great work within our community. And so each year, the way organizations are selected to receive funds from United Waste Campaign is organizations, and we call it being a community impact partner, because we try to provide more than just money to
yes.
organizations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, we try to provide, you know, just resources in general. Time, talent, and treasures. And
yes.
so with that, organizations apply every winter, and Harvest Outreach became a partner of ours, I believe, 3 years ago now.
Okay.
I believe
so,
this is about the third year
yeah.
We've partnered, and really, you know, just striving to connect the organization to extra resources, too.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why they're selected, you know, when we sit down and look at those applications and read those through those applications, each committee member, which is a member of our local community, reads and scores those applications. And, you know, the criteria is our main goals for the community.
Mm-hmm.
It's providing opportunities for upward mobility for individuals, as well as providing critical services. And Harvest Outreach is an organization that checks both of those boxes.
Absolutely.
And they don't just check it with a light check mark. It's like a permanent Sharpie mm-hmm. marker. Like, we
yes.
are doing this. Here's what we're doing and how and why. And here are the lives
mm-hmm.
we've transformed.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we look at the financial need of organizations. And I think you guys, every penny that's thrown at you, you guys immediately
uh-huh.
put right to work
yeah.
To do great,
that's for
great
sure.
things. So,
sure.
But United Way is proud to support the work of Harvest yeah. Outreach Ministries right here in our
yeah.
community. And many times, United Way is looked at as such a big organization because we have a national brand, but we're local.
Mm-hmm.
So all of our
right.
money that we provide to local organizations is raised right here within our
yeah.
community. So what we raise here stays here.
Yeah.
We don't have a money tree that we get from somewhere else. I would
we
love
talked about the money tree
yes.
before. I wish that
we could find them.
Yeah.
I bet you guys would use a few of those
yes,
too.
Sir.
So
yes.
yeah,
that'd be great.
Absolutely. But say all the money though that we, you know, raise in the community, we invest right here, and the more
Absolutely.
Dollars we can raise, the more dollars we can invest in
mm-hmm.
our 17 partner organizations, one being Harvest Outreach Ministries.
Yeah.
So we're happy and excited to be able to support the great work you
yeah.
guys are doing.
Really
yeah.
appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great to support organizations where you can look around town and actually
right.
you see these people who have been through the programs and who continue daily to rely
yes.
on the programs.
Absolutely. And another part of kind of our, each month we're having a different organization that we're highlighting. And so the one of the quote last parts of this is we are also having a lunch and learn, and it'll be held on Tuesday the 24th. I'm trying to pull up the event, so I'm kind of talking slowly because I don't have all the details correct. So we're having a lunch and learn this month, and we're relating all
yep.
of our United Way lunch and learns back to the organization that we are highlighting for the month.
Mm-hmm.
And so this month's highlight is Harvest Outreach Ministries. And so the topic for that lunch and learn is substance abuse recovery. And so next Tuesday from 11:30 to 1 at Mark Twain Behavioral Health,
okay.
We will be having a lunch and learn. And so our friends with Harvest Outreach Ministries, Larry and a crew of
mm-hmm.
individuals that have actually transformed their lives with recovery through the Loaves and Fishes program, the Sober Living program, as well as other providers of services related to substance abuse recovery. Mark Twain Behavioral Health will share about their recovery programs, as well as Preferred Family Health Care. They'll share about their programs. And there's many of your clients, too, that live at the houses that access services at one or either of those agencies.
Right. Yeah, Mark Twain. We get a lot of our folks that we get come from Mark Twain Behavioral Health.
Now that they have the inpatient, you know, inpatient and that's been substance a big plus recovery.
Because it just gives them another time period to kind of start getting things in order, get the group therapy, get the therapy and those kind of things. So it's been, you know, another thing, in this is with United Way for us is one of the things that, you know, we ran into through the years is nobody heard of Harvest Outreach. Nobody heard about the Harvest Houses. Didn't matter where you went and spoke or, you know, who you talked to about it. And so with our connection with them, the different events that we, you know, get involved with in them and the publicity that we've got through United Way, you know, people know about Harvest Outreach now.
And that's important for people to know so they can understand this is something I can support and help.
Yes.
So, and you guys need that. You need that support and help of the community. I think that's a big thing is recovery is really the whole community helping with it.
Well, and sometimes people get a little judgmental. Well, about many things. I don't know if you know or not. But
this
for
seems
me,
to be a recurring problem.
Yeah, exactly. For me, though, I say, you know, like I've never been in a situation where I've had to recover, you know, from abusing substances yet.
Yeah.
And I say yet because you never know when I'm going to have a car wreck and be prescribed an opioid and, you know, find out that I'm actually predispositioned to be an addict and then start abusing that just because of the way life goes. And that's sometimes how individuals, you know, journeys with substance abuse begins.
Very common.
Yep. And so I strive, you know, to educate people, you know, this is something that can impact anyone. Mm-hmm. And there's individuals that serve on your board who have a personal story with substance abuse, you know, where they've maybe lost a family member and they're from, you know, this is, you know, I lost my child due to substance abuse and I'm, you know, look at me, I'm the executive at a large company. You know, this is a situation that can impact anyone in our community.
It's kind of like homelessness. People don't think that can happen to them, but it can.
Say absolutely. And that's, you know, by the grace of God, go I kind of situation. And
that's right.
And so I strive to make certain, you know, that people know and understand this is not something that you're better than. This is something that can happen to any one of
us. Absolutely.
So,
you know, the reality of it is there's very few families that aren't impacted by drug addictions or any kind of addiction
in some way.
Do you want me to name the individuals in my family that have or the list of people that are or are not? Because the list that are is probably longer in my personal family for certain.
It is.
So
you know, we went through a period about a few years back where there was like five people that overdosed and died that either were in my family or had been close friends with someone in
absolutely
our family.
You
know, so it impacts every church is impacted by it, every business is impacted by it, you know,
absolutely.
It's an epidemic.
It is
absolutely,
and just the health of the community overall is so affected by it. So, and of course I love how you do this in a way that glorifies Christ. I love that, and because that is how lives
it's the main thing
change.
You know, the one thing I always say, you know, through the years when people have come to do, you know, newspaper articles or TV or whatever, a lot of them, they want to know your success rate.
You know? I love this every time you share that. It's my favorite.
And it's been the same thing through the years, is that those that have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's usually 100%.
Yeah.
Those that don't, they're either back in their addiction, back in jail, back in prison, or dead.
That's right.
And that's the way we've seen it through the years.
That's right. Well, I think people will fail you, and we all know that. People fail. That's the human condition, but Christ does not fail.
That's
And I love that. I love that that's what you do for your program is you bring people to that. That's never ending. So
I remember when we opened our first house, we had one guy that was there, and we were talking one night, and he had some mental health problems, and he said, I said, is there anything you guys would like to discuss? And he goes, yeah. He said, I am getting so sick and tired of hearing about God.
Well, I guess that hasn't sunk in yet, has it?
And, About 2 weeks later, he disappeared. You know, we didn't see him anymore, so he didn't get it and he didn't want it.
Well, so it could be a seed that later on.
Yeah, you never know.
You just never know.
He could. And
go
we have, you know, we yeah. had when we began. One of the guys that was at the houses, he had been a lifelong alcoholic. Mm-hmm. He had had, you know, periods where sobriety. He had mm-hmm. actually even been like a peer support specialist before, you know, yeah. went through all that training. He knew the book backwards and forwards and everything else. And I kept telling him, you know, we had him four different times, mm-hmm. you know, he was one of these guys when he went out and when he went off the wagon, he almost died. He'd be in the hospital with alcohol overdose.
Yeah.
One time we found him, he was down under a bridge and he'd got a rope and he had tied the rope to something and tied it around him. And he was trying to detox himself. And it was like winter time. And so he was going down in the river. I don't know why he thought that would work. Shivering in the cold water.
My.
But he, you know, I kept telling him, you don't have the one thing. You don't have that relationship yeah. with Christ. You know the big book, you know, you've got the training, you've had all those things.
Yeah.
But you don't have that.
Yeah.
Well, he finally got that.
Oh.
And, you know, he's successful. His kids are blessed by it. They just can't believe the difference in dad. You know, relationships restored, got remarried, you know, has a good marriage. He's a manager at a store. I mean,
I love that.
You know, and this guy was in his 50s before yeah, he got
absolutely.
It right.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, that's the, you know, what a gift,
yeah.
you know, for those, that family that you were able to give, you know,
yeah.
you were able to give them their dad.
Yeah.
yeah.
What a gift.
Yeah. That's just
so
awesome.
It's awesome to see. And that's,
yeah.
that's the rewarding part of it. You know, when you see those kind of things happen,
yeah.
and lives turn around.
Absolutely.
And the impact it has, because not only, you know, it impacts them, it impacts their family, but it also impacts the community because now they're out there, they're a person that shows up for work,
mm-hmm.
they do their job,
yep.
and they advance in their job.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
How
yeah.
much do we need that today?
Yeah.
Today's
oh
world.
My, so much.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah. So we're opening 5 more Harvest Outreach.
We need to.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I could not
the capacity.
Yeah.
So what do you need, Larry, from the community to continue your missions, to continue money? We
yeah.
all know
yeah,
we need money.
Exactly.
So,
well, you know, the main thing is for, it's even more important than money. I mean, money is important because you got to keep the programs going.
Sure.
You need the facilities. So, you know, that's the money part of it. But having people get involved is probably more important than even the money.
You had mentioned mentors.
Yes.
That's something
we need
really
them
need.
Bad.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, we've always been real successful in providing mentors for women.
Mm-hmm.
The men part of it has not worked out as well. You can't hardly get men to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so now right now we do need some for women too, but this is kind of the first time that we haven't been able to
sure.
Get that in place for the women. So that, and then, you know, there's always construction work that people can help with.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot of different ways that they can get involved,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But just having a community that, like, you know, just like for Loaves and Fishes, for example, you know, if people wanted to drop by food to it, if,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's just so many things that they could do in that way. I think we still lack, you know, all of our meals are served by volunteer groups. So you have different groups that come in each night during the month, and I think we're still lacking a couple of groups.
Okay.
So, you know, if people could put a group together
mm-hmm.
To come and serve the meal.
And so my church, I have a ladies group of sorts at our church, and we're actually doing Friday the 27th of this month, but
yeah.
a lot of them have never been down there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited
yeah.
For that as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And like Billy was just talking to him, we do what we call a harvest party at our church every fall. And so she was up at that Saturday night and she was telling me that she's still trying to work out Christmas, you know.
Okay.
So usually holidays like Thanksgiving
yeah.
and Christmas are a little harder to get people down there to serve that meal.
Oh, sure.
So there's all kinds of little ways that people can get involved.
Yeah.
From little ways to big ways.
Yeah.
So, you know, like with the mentors, we just ask them for an hour a week.
Yeah.
That you just take an hour a week and spend some time with that person.
Yeah, and you've mentioned before, though, that a lot of those relationships do turn into very strong
grow.
Friendships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had Dr. Adam Santatori. He was one of our mentors at a men's house, and the guy that he had was very, very challenging. And they still have a relationship. He goes to their house for family meals.
So. Oh, wow.
How yeah. awesome.
That is awesome.
It's been going on for years now. Wow. So sometimes it does develop into yeah. that.
When people want to get involved in any way, what's the best way for them to get in touch? And yeah.
Well, right now, they just need to call me.
They're having some tech situation.
Okay. I'm meeting with a lady that's getting her website back up and going
okay.
after I leave here.
Okay.
So. Hopefully, we'll have that going soon.
Okay. But for now...
Yeah, right now would be just best to call me.
Okay. Yes. All right. Well, then we can include your phone. What is your phone number?
573-248-6323.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we'll make sure and include yeah. that as well in the description so yeah. people can find it there. And then your website will be yeah. going soon, too. Okay.
Larry, you guys do such great work.
Absolutely.
And it's always a pleasure hearing, even if, you know, I'm very familiar, of course, with all parts and pieces. Yeah. But it still fills my bucket and helps give me yeah. some purpose to make sure when I go yeah. knock on doors, I keep knocking until they open and say, no, we need you because right. here's why.
Yeah.
And here's what's happening in our community. And you don't like this that's going on. Well, here's an organization that's changing that.
Yeah.
But we need your help
right.
to help them.
Right.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Great work always.
You know, like
yeah.
this women's house, if we can get this other women's house going for mothers and children. You know, I'm on the board for Options for Women, and that's another need that they have.
Yeah.
You know, when
absolutely.
They have a lady that comes in and decides to keep her baby.
Yeah.
Sometimes she needs a place to live where she can have that baby. And,
yes.
Well, that know. Support too.
So yeah.
Yeah, that
absolutely.
Wraparound support.
So, you know,
certain...
through this we can connect with some other mm-hmm. agencies and different things to help out in some other areas. So.
I love that.
Yeah.
I just love it. Well, I'm so glad that I got to come and talk to
yeah.
you today.
Well,
and
appreciate it.
Always love to talk to you too.
We'll always have a party.
So, and I think later today you're going to actually go tough on the Daily Muddy.
Yes,
so,
yep. I'll be sporting a pretty dress, I tell you.
Yes, you can catch Denise and Brittany Bowl in some prom dresses coming up. So look
right.
for that on the Daily Muddy. So thank you
right,
so
thanks,
much
Meg.
Again.
Appreciate
yes,
you.
Yes. Thank you. We appreciate you so much.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Hannibal Focus. To learn more about Muddy River News, follow us on Facebook or visit our website at muddyrivernews.com.